We're up to Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. We're up to the 12th line, like in the middle of the Amud. So the Gemara, again, we're still in the middle of this whole conversation that we were discussing yesterday regarding the differences between different size garments, whether it's 3x3 fingers versus 3x3 tefachim. We also spoke about the differences between garments made of different materials, wool or linen versus other materials. So continuing with that line of thought. Amar Abaye, Hai Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Mapich Me'idach Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. So Abaye says that the statement we quoted yesterday in the name of Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, so just to recap, his statement yesterday was that generally when the Torah writes the word Begadim or Beged, it does not specify the material that the garment is made from, but the one place where it does is in the context of Tzara'as on your garment. So just like the Torah there says that a garment is, that the definition of a garment is made from wool or linen, so too in every other area of halacha. So Abaye now says that statement of Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael also correlates with another statement made in the base medrash of Rabbi Yishmael. The Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Beged. Again, the same pasuk that we cited yesterday from the end of Parshas Tazria. The word Beged teaches me that only a garment is subject to Tumas Tzaras. Ein li ela Beged. Tzemer u'fishtim. Sorry, so in other words, I only know that a garment made from wool or linen is subject to Tumas Tzaras. Minayin l'rabos tzemer gemalim tzemer arnavim notza shel izim v'hashirin v'haklach v'hasrikin. How do I know that garments made from camel hair and rabbit hair and, you know, goat's hair and various forms of silk are also subject to Tumas Tzaras? Talmud Lomar Oveged, comes the additional word O in the Pasuk and teaches me that the concept of Tzaras on a garment is not merely limited to garments made from wool or linen, but it's more expansive. It applies to silk garments, to rabbit hair, camel hair, goat hair, etc. That's the other statement of Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. So Rava Amar, so now Rava comes along and says, Ki leisle lahach tana devei Rabbi Yishmael, bishar begadim shalosh al shalosh, shlosha al shlosha isle. So now the Gemara says that according to Rava, that you don't have to say that there's a, you know, that we have a machlokas or a stira or an internal contradiction between the two statements of Rabbi Yishmael, because according to Abaye, we basically have an outright contradiction between these two statements that were mentioned in the base measures of Rabbi Yishmael. According to the statement that we quoted yesterday, the concept of tzaras on a garment is limited only to garments made from wool or linen. And according to the statement that we just quoted right now, it sounds like the concept of tzaras on a garment is more expansive. It applies to garments made from other materials as well. However, Rava thinks that in reality, there is no machlokes between these two opinions, but rather the two opinions are talking about two different cases. Namely, the case that we mentioned yesterday where only wool and linen are subject to tzaras, that's talking about shalosh al shalosh, a piece of fabric that is merely 3x3 fingers. Whereas this statement of Rabbi Yishmael, which says that garments of any material are subject to tzaras, is talking about a garment that's shlosha al shlosha, a 3x3 tefach garment, which as we mentioned yesterday, is fit as a garment for everyone, both for wealthy and for poor people. So the Gemara says that it could very well be that this is the way to resolve these two statements, which is to say that they're talking about two different cases. To which the Gemara asks, V'harav ahu da'amar shlosha al shlosha b'shar begadim l'rav shum ben elazar itzlei l'sana devei Rabbi Yishmael Leisle. But the whole premise of Rava's position that we spoke about yesterday in the Gemara was that Rava himself believes that Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael completely denies the idea of Tumah on a 3x3 tefach garment made of materials other than wool or linen. How can the Gemara, in other words, how can Rava now turn around and say that maybe the way to resolve this contradiction between these two statements of Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael is to suggest that the second statement that says that all garments, or, you know, most garments are subject to tzaras, is to say that that second statement was referring to a 3x3 tefach garment made of other materials, if Rava himself on yesterday's daf told us that Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael denies Tumah on any garment that's not made from wool or linen? He said that was exactly the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael on the top of Chavav Amid Beis. He said that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, so you're right, so a 3x3 tefach garment made of other materials is subject to tzaras, but according to Rava's presentation of Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, a 3x3 tefach garment garment made of something other than wool or linen is not subject to tumas tzaras, and yet here he's assuming that it is. So how does Rava, now apparently Rava is contradicting himself. So the Gemara gives two possible answers to this question. The Gemara says either hadar be Rava mehahi, either you could argue that Rava retracted his original position from yesterday's daf, and in reality Rava does in fact agree that a 3x3, that even according to Tana Devei Rav Yishmael, a 3x3 tafach garment made of other material is in fact subject to tumas tzaras, meaning again he retracted his position back from yesterday's daf. That's one possibility. V'ibayisema harav papa amra. Alternatively, you can suggest that the statement in our Gemara was not in fact made by Rava, but by Rav Papa. Rav Papa was one of the primary Talmidim of Rava, so it could be that the Gemara just assumed that because Rav Papa said it, Rava probably also said it. And the Gemara says, no, maybe not. Maybe Rav Papa, Rava's student, actually disagreed with his Rebbe. And therefore, according to the Gemara's second answer, there is no contradiction whatsoever. Okay, so those are the two ways to potentially resolve the opinion of Rava. Okay, now the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rav Papa. So Rav Papa Amar, Av kol asuye kilayim. Now Rav Papa comes along and tries to resolve the statement of Rabbi Yishmael, but in a totally different way. Rav Papa says that this statement of Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael has nothing to do with the halachos of Tumah, of Tzaras, that we've been speaking a lot about since yesterday, but rather he says that the principle that Rabbi Yishmael is trying to extrapolate for us is in regards to the issur of wearing shatnez. In other words, according to Rav Papa's version of Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, he says that just like the Torah says that the definition of a garment in the context of tzaras means a garment made from wool or linen and not any other material, so too when it comes to the isser of wearing shatnez by definition means a garment made of wool and linen and not a garment made of, I don't know, you know, silk and camel's hair, or camel's hair and goat's hair, or, you know, all the other examples that we quoted yesterday. So the Gemara says, but hang on 1 second. Kelayim behejik sive be lo silba shatnez tzemeru fishtim yachtav. Asks the Gemara on Rav Papa, why does Rav Papa have to teach me as if, like, I didn't know this before? Rav Papa has to teach me, by the way, the definition of shatnez is when you mix wool and linen together. That's what the pasuk says in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei. It's an explicit pasuk in Chumash. Why do I need Rav Papa to come and explain a statement of Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael to teach me that the isser of shatnez means wool and linen when I should be able to figure that out on my own? Why do I need to have, you know, Rav Papa explaining that to me within the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael? So the Gemara says, no. Salkadai techamina, because I might have argued, hane mile derech levisha, that maybe the isser of shatnez, of wool and linen specifically, is to wear a garment made from wool and linen, aval baha'alah, kol trei mine yasser. But one could have theoretically argued that the almost like secondary isser of shatnez, which is called a ha'alah, ha'alah means you can't even put shatnez on top of you. Let's say you can't wrap yourself in a blanket of shatnez, for example. So I might have argued that the isser of ha'alah applies to any two, you know, applies to any two materials, even if they're not wool and linen. That's what I would have thought. So the Gemara says, really? V'lav kal v'chomer? Why would I, in other words, the Gemara says, why would I have thought that? Wouldn't a kal v'chomer state the opposite? Umal levisha, dekamis hane kule gufe mi kilayim, omar tsemeru fishtim in, midiacharina lo, ha'ala lo kol shikin. The Gemara says that when it comes to the issur of actually wearing shatnez, which is obviously much more severe and much more all-encompassing than just putting, let's say, a blanket of shatnez on top of you, the Torah still says that the issur of wearing shatnez is limited only to wool and linen and does not apply to a garment made of other materials. So then why on earth would I have thought that putting a blanket of camel's hair and goat's hair, whatever it is, on top of me, that should be a problem? In other words, ha'alah, putting a blanket of shatnez on top of you is much less severe than actually wearing a garment which covers your entire body and actually benefits you. So the question is, why would I have even thought this in the first place? To which the Gemara...
implication of that any blanket I would put on, or any blanket that has a mixture of multiple...
Well, the Gemara, again, the Gemara is trying to explain what the need for Rav Papa's statement was in the first place. So the Gemara said, well, it can't be to teach me the principle of shatnez to begin with, because everyone knows from the Pasuk in Chumash that shatnez means wool and linen. So the Gemara is attempting to prove, oh, maybe it refers to this, like, subcategory of shatnez called ha'alah, of not putting a garment on top of you, even if it's not just wool and linen, it could be other materials. But the Gemara...
How could you ever have a havamina?
That's exactly the Gemara's question, right? right? The Gemara.
If that's the implication, that you can never have a blanket on you.
Well, again. In other words, everyone agrees that the issur of putting a shot in his blanket on you would definitely encompass a blanket made from wool and linen. That's clear. The Gemara's right. Question is, what if I had a blanket that wasn't wool and linen, but was, I don't know, camel's hair and goat's hair or whatever, or silk or whatever? So the Gemara says, but how could you argue that wearing such a garment is permissible if it's not wool and linen, but putting it on you is somehow problematic? That doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela de Rav Papa Badusa. You have to say that Rav Papa's statement is false. It's incorrect. It's a farce. It's not true. In other words, basically the Gemara says you have to kind of scratch Rav Papa from the record. Rav Papa's whole statement doesn't make any sense at all, and essentially it's not relevant really to our Gemara. Okay, so now moving on, the Gemara quotes tries again to resolve the statements of Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Av Kol Va'asuyei Tzitzis. Now Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak suggests that maybe the statement of Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael was really coming to teach me the halacha of tzitzis, namely that one is only obligated to put tzitzis on garments that are made from either wool or linen, as opposed to garments made from other materials. To which the Gemara once again asks the obvious question, which is tzitzis behedjik siv lo sil bashani semeru fishtim uchsiv gedilim tasalach. Right, this is a famous juxtaposition between the two psukim in Parashas Ki Tzeitzei. First, the Torah says don't wear shatnez, and the pasuk defines shatnez as meaning a combination of wool and linen. And then in the very next pasuk, the Torah says in Parashas Ki Tzeitzei to put on tzitzis. The Gemara in Yevamos learns from this smichas, from this juxtaposition of psukim, that the obligation to wear tzitzis only applies to garments that are made from either wool or linen. So again, what is Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak teaching us that we didn't already know from a pasuk in Chumash? So once again, the Gemara says no. Salka da'ita chamina kidurava. I might have thought that we paskin like Rava. What does Rava say? Durava Rami. Rava poses the following contradiction between two psukim. Ksiv, it says at the end of Parsha Shlach, in the third Parsha of tzitzis, it says hakanaf min kanaf. On the one hand, the pasuk says Hakanaf psil techeles. You put tzitzis on the corner. What is the word the corner coming to teach me? The Gemara says min kanaf means to say that you put tzitzis. In other words, whatever material your garment is made from, that's the same material that your tzitzis have to be. Which obviously implies that your garment does not have to be made from wool or linen in order for tzitzis to be. In other words, in order for you to be chayav to put tzitzis on the garment. On the other hand, the pasuk also says that we just quoted a second ago from Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, uchsev tzemeru fishtim yachdav. It also says that the requirements for tzitzis on a garment are wool and linen, or wool or linen. So hakeis, and how do you resolve this apparent contradiction? So says Rav the following: Tzemeru fishtim potrin bein b'minan bein shelo b'minan. If I have a garment that's made from either wool or linen, so then I could put tzitzis of any material that I want on the garment, and I could be yotzei my chiyuv. In other words, I could put silk tzitzis or camel hair tzitzis or goat hair tzitzis or regular wool or linen tzitzis, and that's okay. However, she'ar minan b'minan potrin shelo b'minan ein potrin. However, if my garment is made of material other than wool or linen, so then Rava says the only way you can be yotzei tzitzis is by putting strings that are made of the same material which your garment is made from. So salka daitach kidurava kamash malan. I would have argued that maybe we follow Rava's position that in reality garments that are made from other materials are chayiv in tzitzis as long as you make sure that you put the correct material, the same material of the garments as part of the strings. The Gemara says no, it's not true. We don't paskin like Rava at all. We completely reject and deny Rava's position, and therefore we hold lahalacha that garments that are not made from wool or linen are not chayiv and tzitzis whatsoever. Not that, oh, they're chayiv and tzitzis are the same material, like Rava said. No, they're not chayiv and tzitzis at all. So that's the chiddush. That's why the Gemara had to cite the opinion of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak to teach us that we don't follow Rava's shita. Okay, so now the Gemara... Correct. Yeah, yeah.
Halacha umaseh,
yeah.
Our tzitzis are made out of shatnez, correct?
No, absolutely not. Our tzitzis are not made out of shatnez. In theory,
I'm talking about the strings.
No. The strings are still going to be made from most regular pairs of tzitzis that you're going to wear today are usually wool, some combination of wool and cotton. So it's all the same material, right? In theory, and again, I think we mentioned this either yesterday or the day before. In theory, you could technically have shatnez as part of your tzitzis, as we mentioned this the other day, because of the principle of asei docha lo saaseh. The Gemara in Yevamos says because the mitzvah saaseh of tzitzis should push aside the law of shatnez. However, Reish Lakish in the Gemara in Yevamos says that whenever you have the option to not violate the Isser, we don't let you do it. Meaning, you don't have to wear shatnez in order to be Yotzei Tzitzis. You could just do wool and wool, which is usually what we do. So therefore, Lamaisa, we don't actually wear shatnez on our tzitzis. In theory, if you did, technically you might be Yotzei, but as a matter of principle, we don't generally allow that. Okay. Fine. So now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Acha b'Rei de Rav lo Rav Ashi. Lasana devei Rabbi Yishmael. Maishna l'inyan tuma. De marbe sh'ar begadim. De chsev oveged. Hachanami lema l'rabu sh'ar begadim e'asher techaseba. The Gemara wants to know the following. We mentioned yesterday already that according to Tana devei Rabbi Yishmael, so when it comes to the principle of tuma that we were speaking a lot about in terms of the different cloths and the different size garments and the different material garments, so why is it that according to Tana devei Rabbi Yishmael, the pasuk from Parshas Tazria, that says, O Beged, the extra word O is coming to teach me that a 3x3 tefach garment of other material is in fact subject to Tumas Tzaras. In other words, that's an expansive term that includes even garments of other material. The problem, however, is that in the context of Tzitzis in Parshas Kisetze, the Torah uses also a very general phrase, Asher Techa Seba, that a garment that you cover yourself with, you have to put Tzitzis on. So the question is, why wouldn't we also say that garments of other materials are also chayiv and tzitzis? Again, this is obviously not following Rava. Rava, you know, Rava's already been rejected. But the question is, according to the way that we paskin against Rava, well, the question is, why is Rava incorrect? Why, in other words, why in fact are garments of other materials not chayiv and tzitzis if the pasuk in Parshas Kisetze, when it talks about the chiyuv of tzitzis, uses this very kind of open-ended phrase, asher techaseba, that you cover yourself with it? That sounds like the garment can be made of any material. The Gemara says, no. Hahula suyek susuma hudasa. That phrase, that pasuk in Parshas Kisetze, Asher Techaseba, is teaching me that even the garments of a blind person are chayav in tzitzis. Why would I have thought otherwise? Desanya, right? So the Braisa quotes the pasuk ureisem oso. So what do we learn from the words ureisem oso? Pratlich sus laila, that your pajamas are not chayav in tzitzis. Now again, there's a whole machlokas in the Rishonim between the Rambam and the Rush, but what exactly sus laila is supposed to mean? Does that mean that my clothing that I'm wearing at night, or does that mean nighttime clothing like pajamas, even if I'm wearing them during the day? That's a big machlokes, and that actually would have ramifications if you're wearing regular clothes at night or pajamas during the day, whether you would be chayv in tzitzis. So we're not 100% sure what the halacha is. So in other words, the only time that you're for sure not chayiv in tzitzis is if you're wearing pajamas at night. Then everyone agrees that's a definition of ksus laila, that you would not be chayiv in tzitzis. So either way, the Gemara quotes the pasuk that says that pajamas, and again, you know, however you understand ksus laila, is not chayiv in tzitzis. So the Gemara tries to figure this out. Ata omer pratluch sus laila, o eno ela pratluch sus suma. The question is, if the source to exclude pajamas from tzitzis is based on uri isemo, so presumably because the assumption was that it was difficult to see at night, well, why? So then, why is a blind person chayav in tzitzis? Because he also can't see. Like, in other words, what's the difference? Why can't I also exclude a blind person from the chiyuv of tzitzis based on the same pasuk? So the Gemara says, no. Kishahu omer asher techaseva hariksus suma omer. The words that we just quoted before, asher techaseva, that very expansive term, right? That would include that even a blind person is chayav to wear tzitzis. I so hamani mekayim reisem oso. So then, how do I understand the words reisem oso in Parshas Shlach? It must be pratlichus laila. It must be teaching me that pajamas are not chayiv and tzitzis. So the Gemara says, but hang on one second. Umara iso l'rabo suma ulahotzik sus laila. So how come I'm telling you that, you know, that a blind person is chayiv and tzitzis, but, you know, pajamas are not chayiv and tzitzis? Meaning the question is, what's the difference? In other words, in both situations, the assumption is that either you can't see at all, or you can't see because it's dark outside. So the Gemara says, no. Marba anik sus suma sheyeshna beri'ya itzel achirim, umotzi anik sus laila she'ina beri'ya itzel achirim. The Gemara says there's a big difference. Even though a blind person himself can't see, but other people can see his garment. So therefore, he is still chayiv to have tzitzis on his garment. Whereas at night, again, obviously this was, you know, obviously before electricity, the assumption was is that nobody can see at night. And therefore, the Gemara says that objectively, nighttime clothing, which again, whatever you think that means, is going to be patur from tzitzis. So now the Gemara asks, v'ima l'rabos sh'ar begadim. Again, why are we assuming that this exclusion from the pasuk is telling me that my pajamas are not chayiv in tzitzis? Why don't I say that the pasuk is coming to teach, why do we assume that the pasuk asher techaseba teaches me that a blind person's garments are chayiv in tzitzis? Why not say that the pasuk is teaching me that garments of other materials are chayiv in tzitzis? Again, because if the phrase asher techaseba is so expansive, so then how do we know what it's coming to include or not include, right? In other words, once we're already saying, oh, asher techaseba means a blind person, well, why not say the pasuk is referring to garments of other materials? Well, in other words, what's the difference? So the Gemara says, no, mistabra kayib etzemer ufish fishtim, mar b'tzemeru fishtim, koi b'tzemeru fishtim, mar b'shar b'gadim. The Gemara says just logically and textually, it makes more sense to say that in the context of garments of wool and linen, which was again the whole background to the Isser of Shatnez and the Mitzvah Tzitzis, it makes a lot more sense to say a garment of wool or linen worn by a blind person is coming to be included by the Psukim in Parashas Kisetze. It's much more difficult to say that the whole time we were talking about garments of wool or linen, and then all of a sudden the Torah says, by the way, garments of other materials are also chayav. That's not as logical. It doesn't flow as well. So therefore, the Gemara assumes that the pasuk asher techaseba must be coming to include some sort of a garment that's also made from wool or linen, but that you might have had a hava, I mean it to say maybe is not chayav, which is exactly the case of a blind person's garment. And the chiddush is that no, that even a blind person's garment is chayav in tzitzis. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, yeah.
Is it a fair statement to say that any four-cornered garment, regardless of what material the garment it's made of, it's higher than sixes?
Well, that was exactly the issue that our entire Gemara was trying to address.
La halacha,
we reject Rava, right? Even though Rava told us that in theory garments of other material, if I put the strings of the same type on it, then I'm yotze. Right. But we already saw that Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak rejected that. And the Gemara said, well, you know, why do we reject that? Maybe it should be true. So at the end of the day, the Gemara says that it's not true because the phrase asher techaseba, as we just ended the Gemara by saying asher techaseba cannot be coming to include garments of other materials because just based on context, you know, it doesn't make any sense to say that because contextually, right, it makes more sense to include garments of a blind person that are made of wool or linen because at least we're talking.
You mentioned before that in today's world is made up of cotton
or wool. Yeah, most person.
Why would a cotton garment then be higher than
tzitzis? No, because you know, because cotton halacha has the status of wool. Wool doesn't just literally mean what we call wool. Yeah, cotton is also considered to be wool. Okay.
No, I don't know if you can see. You know, I wear these whatever. I don't know. I'll call them semi-tight tzitzis.
Okay. Oh, the mesh tzitzis, you mean?
Mesh tzitzis.
Yeah, the mesh tzitzis is a whole. That's a whole. Yeah.
I once went into my Eichler or something, and he said to me, you're not even wearing
tzitzis. There are many poskim who are not very into the mesh tzitzis for a variety of reasons. It could very well be because mesh doesn't qualify as either wool or linen, in which case, you know, like we just pointed out, you know, maybe you're not wearing material that's really chayav in tzitzis at all. So, you know, if
we equate cotton to wool, it's worth the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara continues now. Amar Abaye, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar v'sumchus amru davar echad. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Sumchus both say the same idea. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar hadam. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, again, that was the statement that we quoted yesterday on the top of Chavav Amid Beis, where he was the one, actually really on the bottom of Chavav Amid Aleph, where he was the one who told us that anything which is a byproduct of a tree of wood, other than flax, we said, is not subject to the tuma of 3x3 fingers, and also you can use it as schach, because again, anything which is not mekabel tuma by definition can be used for schach. What does Sumchus say? So the Gemara says, Sumchus desanya, Sumchus omer, sikcha b'tvi psula b'pneisha mitama b'negad. Sumcha says, let's say you try to take these woven or spun threads and use them as schach for your sukkah. Sumcha says that schach is possible. Why? Because those strings, even though they're not made into a garment, but as we already mentioned this yesterday, those strings are subject to tumas tzaratz, right? Because that's the principle called shesi ve'ira that we spoke a lot about yesterday. The warp and the woof, right? The vertical and horizontal strings that you use to weave a garment. There's a chiddush in the Torah in Parshas Tazria that those strings are subject to tumas tzaras. So because they can theoretically contract tuma, Sumcha says therefore that if I use that as schach, the schach is going to be puzzle. So the Gemara asks, Kiman, which opinion does Sumchus follow? Ki hai tana, he follows like the following tana, disnan, right? The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Negayim, shesi va'erev metame b'negayim yad divrei Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, so your strings, your vertical and horizontal strings, become tame immediately after you weave them, they're tame. However, for Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ha-shesi mishayi Rabbi Yehuda draws a distinction between the different types of strings. The vertical strings, he says, only become tameh or only subject to becoming tameh once they're actually taken out of the vat. They've actually been blanched and boiled over and they've been processed. In other words, the process of making those strings has to be a little bit further along. Whereas the erev, the horizontal strings, he says, no, he says those become tameh right away, like Rabbi Meir said. the unin shel pishtam yishayis labnu, and the bundles of flax, those become subject to tuma only after they are blanched and whitened in the oven. So the point of the Gemara is that Sumchus, who's the one who says that the spun woven threads are theoretically subject to becoming tame with tumas tzaras, is assuming like the position of is assuming like Rabbi Meir that they can become. Is assuming like Rabbi Yehuda that the only way that they can become subject to tuma is if they're somewhat processed. In other words, that's why when Sumchus talks about the tevi, the spun thread, the assumption is that those are already, you know, somewhat processed, and that's why they're subject to tumas saras, and that's why you can't use them to be yotze the to be yotze your chiyuv of schach. Okay. So now the Mishnah continues. The Mishnah says, "Kol hayotze min hayitze maligei bo'al afishtan." The Mishnah tells us two halachos, which is that anything which is a byproduct of a tree, right, you cannot light with that aside from flax. Again, the assumption being because everything apart from flax that comes from a tree does not light very well. And the second halacha, which we talk a lot about in the Gemara, is that anything which is a byproduct of a tree, again aside from flax, is not subject to tumas ohel. So, for example, if you have a tent, you have a house that's made out of wood, and there's a dead body in the house, so then all the stuff inside of the house will become tame because of the dead body, but the material of the house itself, the tent itself, is not subject to tuma unless it's flax. If it's flax, then the flax itself will also become tame. And again, the Gemara is going to explain what the source for that is. So the Gemara asks,
flax doesn't come from trees.
Flax is like a byproduct. I think it comes from. It comes from like a from like a plant or something. I don't
linseed oil.
What was that?
Flax is made from linseed.
I think flax grows.
I think it grows. No,
I'm
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure flax grows. I think. As far as I know, I don't know.
It grows like wheat.
I think. I don't know.
It is a plant. It is a plant.
Well. Okay. Well, actually, the Gemara is actually about to ask right now how we know that flax is.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see in the Gemara right now, Mitch. The Gemara is about to ask how we know that flax is considered to be like a tree. Well, what was that? Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara wants to know. Exactly Mitch's question. Minolan de pishton, it creates. How do we know that flax is called a tree?
By the way, flax is a plant.
Okay. There we go. Okay. So Amar Marzutra. The Amar Krei quotes a pasuk from the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. This pasuk is talking about when Rachav Hazona hid the two meraglim who came in to spy out the city of Yericho. So when the people from Yericho came looking for them, she hid them on her roof under the pishtei ha'etz, under the flax from the tree. So that's how you know that based on this pasuk, that flax is considered to be a kind of a tree. Fine. Then we said, v'hayotze min ha'etz eino mitame tumas o'alim el ha'fishtan. We said that again, if you have a tent made out of any byproduct of a tree, apart from flax, so then the material itself will not become tame, but everything inside of the tent will. So asks the Amar Menalan, how do we know that? Amar Rabbi Elazar, gamar o'el o'el mi mishkan. We have a gzereshava of the word o'el from the mishkan. Ksivacha, it says in Parsha Chukas, in the context of Tumas Meis, Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Yamos VeOhel, these are the laws of one who dies in a tent, meaning the halachos of Tumas Meis. Uchsev Hasem, it says in Parshas Pekude by the Mishkan, Vayifros Es HaOhel Al HaMishkan. Mal Halon Shel Pishton Karui Ohel, Avkan Shel Pishton Karui Ohel. Just as the context of the Mishkan, we know that the materials of the Mishkan were made out of linen, out of Pishton. So too, the halacha is that Pishton is the one exception to the rule. It's the one byproduct of a tree that itself is subject to Tumas Ohel. So asks the Gemara, Imal Halon Shezurin V'chutan Kafel Vav, Avkan Shezurin V'chutan Kafel Vav. Well, just like in the Mishkan, we know that the linen was folded over and spun over six times. Maybe one can argue that only linen that's spun and folded over six times in a very specific way is subject to Tumas Ohel, but maybe regular linen is not. To which the Gemara says, no, Talmud Lomar, Ohel, Ohel, Reba. The fact that we have the word Ohel mentioned twice is meant as an amplification. It's meant to teach me that not only this very specific form of linen is subject to Tumas Ohel, in other words, where it's folded over six times, but even regular linen is subject to Tumas Ohel. So asks the Gemara, E Ohel, Ohel, Reba, if that's true, afilu kol milenami. So then why don't we say that all materials are subject to tumas oham? In other words, anything that's a byproduct of a tree should be subject to tumas oham. Why is flax the only thing that's subject to tumas oham? Well, the Gemara says, no, in Kings, they were shown my ahani life. That were true, that every other material from a tree was also subject to tumas oham, then what would the purpose of the gzera shava be? The gzera shava of ol would be totally meaningless, because ol was meant as a limitation. It teaches you that only flax is subject to tumas oham, but any other material that comes from a tree is not. So the Gemara says, really, the ema mala halon krushim avkan krushim. Why don't we suggest that maybe the nature of the gzera shava is to teach me that just like in the Mishkan was supported with beams. Maybe the only type of flax which is subject to tumas oel is flax that's supported by a beam. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. Amar kra the asisa kirashim la mishkan. Right, the pasuk says it says in Parshas Truma it says that they made the beams for the Mishkan. So what does that teach me? Mishkan karui mishkan the in krushim krui mishkan. You see from here that the Mishkan itself, in other words, the flaps and the linens and all the woven tapestries have the status of a Mishkan, whereas the beams underneath do not have the status of a Mishkan, and therefore according to the Gemara, you don't need to have beams there in order for the linen to be subject to Tumas Ohel. So the Gemara says, but Elameyata, but if that's true, the Asisa Michselo Ohel, Hachinami Michselo Ikre Ohel. But what about the pasuk that says that, you know, it says that you have to make a covering for the tent of the Mishkan? Does that mean to say that the mikseh, the covering itself, does not have the status of an ohel? In other words, what that would essentially imply is that having a covering over the building or over the structure would not be considered to be part of the ohel. But that's the very definition of an ohel, is having a covering over it. So the Gemara says, no, Elohad deboy Rabbi Elazar or behema tameya mahu sheyitma ba'ohel ameis. The problem with saying that the mikseh is not the same thing as the ohel is the fact that Rabbi Elazar raises the following question: what would the halacha be if I had the skins of a non-kosher animal on top of my tent, on top of, as part of the roof? Would that also be subject to tumas meis? So the Gemara says, hashta or behema tahora lo metame or behema tamea mibaya. If the skins of kosher animals are not subject to tumas ohel if they're on top of a tent, so kal vachomer, the skins of non-kosher animals should certainly not be subject to that. So why, in other words, so the question is, how could you suggest that a mikseh is not an ohel that thereby prompts Rabbi Elazar to ask about the status of the non-kosher, the skins of non-kosher animals? Why do I need a pasuk? It's obvious that the skins of non-kosher animals should not be subject to tumas ohel. To which the Gemara says, no, shiny awesome, the hadar ahadri kra, the chsivin the pasuk itself goes back and equates the Mishkan to the covering on top of the Mishkan, namely Makish Elyon Lesachton, Matachton Kari Ohel, Af Elyon Kari Ohel. Just as the bottom part of the Mishkan has the status of an Ohel in terms of Ohel, in other words, in terms of Tumas Meis, so too the top part, the covering, also has the status of the Ohel, and therefore it was a legitimate question that Rabbi Elazar asked about the status of the skins of non-kosher animals that cover over the Mishkan. Although at the end of the Gemara assumes that because of the fact that kosher, that the skins of kosher animals are not going to be metame, then kal v'chomer, the skins of non-kosher animals will also not be metame. Okay.